Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. There's
Hello.
People here. This is lovely.
Yes.
We had no one yesterday. It was great fun.
Yes, we're not
no
we're
offense.
Not used to an audience at all, are we?
No.
No, this was
Throws
a good
us.
Idea coming here.
I know. It's even more echoey today. It's like we've got an echo button on now. Isn't it?
So, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm much better than I was yesterday, Bruce.
You were a wee bit tired,
I was
you?
Hanging out my ass yesterday.
Yes.
Someone might have overindulged the night before. Because I do that thing where I think that the festival's only 2 days and I forget it's 3 weeks long and I do the 3 weeks in one night and then feel like shit. So, no, but I feel fine today. I went to Glasgow last night.
Oh.
I know.
How disgusting.
I know. And they were...
Why?
Well, they had a gig over there and
just
I
the
thought,
one?
Well, I thought that it was a good idea when it was booked 3 months ago.
Right.
But it wasn't a good idea today or yesterday.
So and who are you on with?
In Glasgow. JJ Whitehead and Alistair Barry.
Oh.
And
oh. That would have been a long night.
I love your face.
A stoner and an intellectual. Intellectual in inverted commas. Did Alistair go to university? Because he doesn't like to mention it.
He didn't mention it last night.
Did he not mention
no.
it? Oh, he must feel he must feel as though you're his intellectual equal.
He was too
equal.
Busy getting cross at the Ed Fringe, and I'm with them. The press getting their accommodation paid for. Have you seen this? Have you seen the press? So the Edinburgh Fringe have decided to pay for all the journalists' accommodation this year with no strings attached. I know, which is fine, except it's not fine because that's the money that we pay to be in the brochure that goes to them.
So we have every right to find out where these hotels are and go in and take one mother of a stool.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, no, I'm totally up for that. Thank you very much.
And you also know that the press will just go to the Pleasance because that's all that they know exists in Scotland.
Right. I wonder where Kate Copstick is. I wonder if she's sexually active, this fringe.
I've no idea.
Because she must be getting on.
Oh, she's 104. Kate didn't realise that the Scottish Comedy Festival was on at the Beehive last year. She went, oh, I've discovered the Scottish Comedy Festival. I said, it's been there 9 years.
Oh, Kate, really? I didn't know
attention.
That it was on either.
No, did you know?
Who plays there? People I like?
No. But you don't like anybody,
no
Bruce. You don't like... Oh, no,
I
that's
I tell you
a
who
lie.
I don't like.
Who?
And I'm not going to name names. Mark Jennings. And I'll tell you for why. Tell you for why. He was doing Best of Scottish last night. And Mark, unfortunately, seems to think he's Billy Connolly now. He's really not. And he went, oh, Bruce, could you take on that stool? A bar stool. And I went, no. And he went, no, could you not take it on? I went, what do you think I am, an effing removal man? He went, oh, you're the build of one. I went, you're a bit on the plump side as well, Beyonce. Particularly
wow.
with that woman's arse of yours. He went, oh, well, it's just I've got a pint. I went, well, that's maybe contributing to your fuller figure then, isn't it? I said, if you can't navigate props, don't fucking go on with them, prick.
So had a nice evening.
How rude. I was appalled.
So you did Best of Scottish?
I did.
Was
I don't
it
book
the best
it.
Of Scottish?
I'm not sure. If that's the Best of Scottish, I can see why the recession is imminent. That's all I've got to say. And I include myself in that. Those poor people, although there was a lovely elderly lesbian, an octogenarian called Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, did you know they have teeth in sterling?
No.
I didn't. And there was three dentists in, and apparently don't waste your money on a water flosser. It's all what, marketing pish.
What is a water flosser?
It's a machine that flosses your teeth with water.
Oh, right, as it says on the tin. Yeah. Oh, now I'm going to ask you, because you'll know the answer to this.
Uh-huh.
There was somebody on the What's the Ferry group, Sandy, whatever that's called, the ferry group in where I live. They've got one of those neighbourhood watching
things. Royston Vasey on Sea.
So somebody was asking for a freeze dryer. What's one of them?
A freeze dryer?
Yeah.
You can do that with the Ninja 9-in-1. So what you can do... Because you know I love my air fryer.
Yes.
But I've just got a basic air fryer because I wasn't trusted with a more complicated one in case I didn't like it. Because I'm a bit fly by night.
Mm-hmm.
And with this dehydrator, it's for potpourri and garnishes. The air freezer. So you chop up moldy
old bits. People actually buy that? What do you mean
potpourri
and garnish?
It's a 9-in-1. Uh-huh. So I hadn't finished.
Sorry.
So you can do a whole chicken in it. And apparently it's succulent and moist. Not for the chicken because it's dead, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you can bake in them as well. And Ninja have a sale on at the moment. I was only telling you that the other day. 20% off, free package and posting. So, but the thing is, you don't hold a drink long enough to appreciate a garnish.
No, absolutely.
I mean, if you had your way, you'd remove your head, replace it with an optic and just jam it up against the ceiling. Just so it's going straight into your body.
I hadn't even thought of that as an idea. And with the advancement of medical science, I reckon that's probably close by.
I think that's a good thing. You could come in my car because I've got the sunroof. And your top could stick out.
Just have like a
and
funnel.
And seagulls could come down and just... You know, rapacious seagulls
your
could come down.
Rapacious seagulls.
And, oh, we had an author on and I learned the word rapacious. It was very exciting.
And he's never let it go. He says rapacious at every opportunity.
It was the
and
same
it
one I learned.
It doesn't even fit into the conversation. But
that's rich coming from a woman that I thought had a fucking dress hanging off her back today. She walked by me and I thought, fucking hell, is that on a hanger? But it's her coat again because her other costume's all manky.
It is, because I've been in it for 3 days.
You're a dirty bitch.
And this is not called a coat again. It's called
a dust coat. Where did
dust
you get coat. It? Where's your garment from today?
I don't know. Go and look at my label.
Oh,
probably.
I don't like touching cheap fabric. You know, I have some. Oh, have you waxed those pits?
No.
It's like the Notting Hill premiere.
Oh, shut your face.
Julia Roberts all over again.
It's from my favourite fabric and fashion place.
Fred and Florence.
Fred and Florence.
God love Tesco's.
Time.
I mean, it's a
I didn't look at me matching Tesco's because of my Tesco
with
shoes.
Your Balenciaga
with a bit of
pumps.
Glitter.
Yeah. Right.
I tell you what, I don't skimp. I spoil myself.
You do, don't you?
I don't even think I got it from F&F. I genuinely think I got it in a charity shop.
Oh, that really makes
I think
me sick.
There's a real quality about picking up something like an F&F or an H&M.
You know,
a Primark. Pick up a Primark in a charity shop. I just feel like I've won the lottery.
I mean, that is so disgusting. And from a woman that has her drugs delivered to her house.
Yeah.
To fucking... oh, Jesus. It's not even from a Stockbridge charity shop. This is... It's probably...
It's Queensferry again.
Queens. I'm done with Queens. Right, talking of, should we get the first guest on?
Shall we? Yes, let's do that.
This young lady is having the time of her life.
Absolutely.
She is an icon. She is the moment. She's loitering behind. Are you changing, dear?
No, I think she's coming out like that.
No. I'm sorry. I wasn't.
Milo.
I call men she, so
yes,
I was looking
sorry,
for that.
Sorry, we've got to meet Laura. I think she's coming on first. We're talking about
Milo McCabe. Oh, Milo. Hello. Sorry, I thought you knew you were a she.
Very much the man of
Milo.
The moment you are, aren't you?
We got a ninja foodie. And I'm
are
just
you pro?
As evangelical about it as you are.
Wonderful. Can I just say, I got the same Yeezys, but I had to send them back because I don't like the pink. But we can talk about that later. They are very comfortable, though, aren't they?
They?
If Kanye West has done one thing, it's made nice pumps.
They are. They're like kind of old man with gout comfortable.
But they're not from Tesco.
Oh.
They're not from Tesco.
No,
they're not from Tesco or a second-hand shop. You have to go on a wait list for these.
No, they kind of are second-hand because...
Oh, go away. I want clean people that buy clothes first-hand.
The good thing about being a size 12 is that you can go online and people buy shoes like this and wear it like 3 times and then it's not box fresh anymore. So they put it on eBay and you can get it for like very cheap. So
what's very cheap? I think our idea of very cheap is different.
£100.
Oh, see, that's not very cheap.
Is that
see,
not?
That isn't it? Isn't isn't that interesting? Somebody's idea of very cheap. That's not very fucking cheap,
yeah,
Milo.
Fair play.
But all you right. don't mind spending that on Sniff, do you?
Hey.
No, I'm just...
Well, you've got a bad dealer because I get it cheap.
I don't have a dealer. Well, Morrison's. That's my dealer. Secondhand shoes couldn't do it.
Nah.
No, dirty.
That's
really
like secondhand
disgusting.
Mattresses.
All right.
What?
Secondhand mattresses.
Really, in your house?
No, but I'm saying it's secondhand shoes is like secondhand mattresses.
I don't think secondhand Rose can have an opinion on this. Have you told the people you're going to live in a camper van to remove your own urine in a cartridge? So anyway, Milo, it's lovely to see you. Mm. And you are having an incredibly successful time. You've got extra shows, which are sold out.
Yeah.
And
are you enjoying it
after all those years of perhaps not selling out?
Well, I did sell out 2019.
That's
but
true.
But I didn't sell it out at the beginning. And yeah, there were loads of years where I came and it was the slogging and flyering in character out on the streets for hours. And
which now, although you're not flyering, your stuff is going viral because a taxi driver that follows me on Twitter, not in real life, he went, "Oh my God, Bruce, turn on this morning, a guy's stolen your act." And I was like, "I don't have an act. It's just me." And he went, "He's stolen your act. He's been dead rude to people in shops." And I was like, "Hang on." And then it was you. And I took that as such a huge compliment because...
But I'm very, very nice to people.
So am I. So am I. I always smile. Ask the octogenarian lesbian. She gave me a big kiss. And I don't know where those lips had been when I got into
I feel like Troy's the yin to your yang.
The funny thing was, because you really helped me...
The yin
me.
To your chang.
Well, chang. When you came and did a lot of my other ill-fated chat show in Le Monde.
Yes.
Where we only had 1.5 person a day, to be perfectly honest with you. But people loved you. Are you still doing the Scrabble stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, still doing the Scrabble stuff. Yeah.
Because I've got we've known each other for years and years, but the Troy Hawk character I've always loved. But when did the Greeters Guild come around? Because I just think it's brilliant.
So when I first started the character, I had a bit of material about him working at Wilko's. Because if you don't know, like, Troy Hawk is a sort of 1940s David Niven, Errol Flynn type guy, but in today's society. So I had this bit about working at Wilko's because I thought it was a nice juxtaposition. And then I thought, why don't I film myself actually working there? So I got my mum to make me a Wilko fleece, and like the dot on the eye was a corn plaster. It was proper homemade. So I went to this Wilko's with a Wilko fleece on, cravat, sort of quiff, moustache. Do you know what I mean? Very obviously out of place. I got in the Wilko's and I just started working there, and I had a cameraman with me, and I was folding up towels and I was helping customers, and other staff members were just walking past me, right? And then how are we gonna get kicked out? Because that's what I wanted for the video. So we started filming a section. I sat on some rattan furniture and he came out, and the cameraman wasn't even hiding anymore. And we filmed for like 5 minutes and they still didn't kick us out. So it was like, how'd you get kicked out of a Wilko's? So we went to a coffee shop over the road. And we were like, how are we going to get the ending? And he goes, why don't you stand outside the Wilko's and greet people as they come in? And then they can't ignore you. So I was like, great. So I stood outside the Wilko's. Welcome to Wilko's, madam. Hope you find everything you need. And everyone's like, oh, thank you. All right. And then the manager came out and she goes, do you work here? And I said, yes. I've got a letter from the branch manager at Kingston, because I'd printed one out, right? And she goes, oh, yeah, all right, fine. Yeah, you work here. So I was just like, fuck's sake, come on. And then eventually about 10 minutes later, this general manager came out like puce with rage. And he's going, what are you doing? That's not your property. I'm like, no, it very much is my property. The dot on that eye is a corn plaster. Right? And then he threw me out. But the funny thing was, as everyone was sort of going, well, is that not, you're outside the shop and so on. But anyway, I did that video about 8 years ago and it did all right. And then when I was making more videos now to try and push my tour, I cut that one up. And I just cut it up into a minute and put it online. And it went nuts. And then someone on TikTok said, why don't you do loads of these? Why don't you do other places? And I sort of went, yeah, why didn't I think of that 8 years ago, for starters? And then basically, sort of earlier this year, about February, March, I got this cameraman. I went, right, we're going to go to this town that I was touring near, and we're just going to do three shops. And then each one just sort of carried on like that, basically.
But what I love is the juxtaposition between, you could not be more charming and lovely, and that people that, you know, in the shop or whatever, get really furious about you doing a lovely thing. It's like, what is wrong with the world?
Like, from people, genuinely, the worst reaction I've had is being ignored by people who feel a bit socially anxious. But like, I would say 90% of people are like chuffed to get a compliment, to get a smile. 100% of store managers are completely confused, angry, like, and I understand, because it's, I'm technically representing the shop, even though I'm stood outside. So it's out of their control. Do you know what I mean? But what's interesting is, like, when I filmed a reaction from a manager kicking me out and I put it online, they have got dogs abuse, like absolute dogs abuse. And then the marketing people have sort of come round to try and save it. And sort of going, oh, sorry, we didn't have any. And it just got really daft. I got B&M to have a go at B&Q.
And, oh my god!
And like, it was amazing because B&M hoofed me out, but they've got a good social media department, so they came on and they're like, "Oh, we're terribly sorry, we booted you out." And I was like, "Can you have a word with B&Q?" Because B&Q, like, fucked me out of it, and then they were at it a million times and just pretended it never happened. So B&M messaged B&Q, and I'm so angry I didn't think of this myself. So I went, "Hello, our ampersand brethren." And I was like, oh, beautiful, ampersand brethren. You clearly haven't been updated on the latest Greeters Guild pamphlet. And now B&M come in and attack B&Q, like, on the regular. And B&Q, they're just ignoring it. They're just staying away from it, kind of thing.
But it's interesting, because it's like, a lot of these companies, I don't know who I was talking to yesterday, lots of companies want comedy to promote their brand.
Yeah.
And then when people do, they get really upset. Yeah. Oh, in fact, it was Alistair Barry talking about... talking about
end of talking. Alistair Barry. Alistair has an opinion. Oh my god,
but he was talking about the taboo
I
band.
Misgendered his dog completely by accident. What? Sorry, I misgendered his dog. He put up a thing of his dog and I went, oh, what a handsome little man. He went, she. Oh, sorry, bitch, please.
But he
sorry
was
back to Alistair
about,
Barry
about the taboo brand, and they did a taboo comedy tour, and Alice went on stage and said, it tastes like shit, but it gets you pissed. And so they got dropped from the tour and all the rest of
good.
It. But it is that thing that comedy is such a good thing. You'd think that the companies would actually take you on board and, well, kind of to promote them.
They are now. Yeah. That's the point. But what's just happened today is I've done a thing with Co-op where I've done this video, and their social media team, and it's a nice natural video. And what I've said to them is, you stay the fuck out of it. Let me make it. Let me edit it and put it out, and then you'll get what you want. But now their social media team are coming in, like, replying to people, like, in this really gauche way. Like, oh, so glad you enjoyed the entertainment, Jackie from Co-op. And it's like, I've had to message the bloke and go,
shut the fuck up.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You're ruining it. You're doing the shit thing that everyone hates on the thing that people seem to like.
Yeah.
Like, just stay away from it. Just let it fucking
do its
roll.
Own thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And that's the thing. As soon as anybody gets involved and tries to do it, like... It's fake.
It's like anything, like any good sitcom idea, any shit sitcom that you see is a good sitcom that a load of producers have come in and put their fingerprints all over until it's just morphed into an unrecognizable piece of shit.
Yeah, in fairness, my family was always bad. I don't care who wrote that in the beginning. That was pish from the... But you said you were ignored. Who ignored you? Was it Liz Truss? Because she seems to be ignoring a lot of people at the moment, including herself.
Mm. No, I mean, like, it's just occasionally I'll give someone a compliment as they're walking past and they really don't know how to process it. They just...
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
And Alistair's.
There's kind of a suspicion. It's like, what? Why are you complimenting me? Uh-huh. What do you want?
I want you to cry.
That's because we're so trained at everybody being miserable and negative, isn't it? I think everyone... And also, because it's all minimum wage, minimum effort, that we're so used to staff and people being utterly incompetent, useless, grumpy, and frankly, a waste of fucking time, there probably is fucking with people's heads going, what? Somebody's been nice and welcoming me into a shop.
Yeah, have you popped into Waitrose? Because I would imagine that's where Troy and his mother shop.
Mm. Oh, I did Waitrose, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They came out... So I was at the Waitrose in Sheffield, and I was literally...
That's an oxymoron.
Yes.
I don't know, but it's Sheffield's a weird one, because there are parts of Sheffield that are very cheechy and upper middle class and stuff. And this Waitrose, it was a load of lovely old people in like boater hats. I was out there for a total of 7 minutes, right? So I came out and I was just complimenting people and being very lovely and all of that. And the woman came out and she goes, "All right, love, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm from the Greeters Guild. But we've not been told. Go. It's been arranged by a chap called Jan Molby, right?" And so she's, "Do you know Jan Molby? '80s. Basically, Jan Molby is a midfielder, stroke defensive midfielder.
Oh, football? No, played, why would I? How stupid!"
Basically, he played for Liverpool in the 80s, and he was a very selfless player who sort of existed to serve others and make other people around him look good, and he never left the center circle, right? So the ethos of the Greeters Guild is taking Jan's playing style and taking that and applying it to its delivering sort of goodwill, making people look good, being selfless, all
because
of that.
Because Liverpool has really embraced you.
Yeah,
they
I love Liverpool. I adore Liverpool.
Liverpool adores you.
It's like, but I just love the culture. I just love, it's like a tiny island in Britain that's just different to everything else. And it's got, like, I'm from Surrey and we've got no cultural identity whatsoever. So when I come up here or I go to Liverpool or something, I love the sort of the pride and the sense of the personality of a place. I'm very drawn to that because I'm from fucking Surrey.
Yeah, but you do have culture in Surrey.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's where Cheryl...
We've got the good life.
Cheryl Cole lives in Surrey. That's fucking culture.
I tell you,
suck it up, bitch.
You're about the only person that you can get away with doing a Liverpool accent to Liverpudlians because I've seen other people try it.
I can do it, though. I can do it. Because I went to uni there and my mum was a scouser, and also I've got a mate from Highton who I've stayed in touch with over the last 25 years, so I've just listened to him moan that much on the phone. I think it's just banged into me brain, do you know what I mean, mate? I love it, though. It's just such an expressive accent.
Yeah. But yes, you see some other people try to do a Liverpool accent in front of them at hot water or something, it turns the crowd. They all but walk out.
Yeah, I think Liverpool and Belfast, very difficult.
Yeah.
How are you? Are you doing the accent?
I'm trying.
Where do you see the Greeters Guild going, then? What's the long-term plan? Are you just going to milk it for as long as you can?
I'm fully aware that when you have an idea that you've got to subvert it at a certain point. So I'm sort of trying to make all the right decisions. But yeah, there's some plans that I don't want to talk about just in case it all gets fucked up. As is the way with plans.
Well, the way with plans is other fucking bastards nick them, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. There is that as well.
Have you suffered at the hands of this, Jojo? Has anyone tried to steal your plans of washing?
No.
Oh, I have had... I had this guy make greetings cards using my name.
Oh, marriage.
Yeah, no, this dude just started making these greetings cards and I found out who he was and they were on like Etsy and Funky Pigeon. And I messaged him and I said... you know, the only merch I've done so far has purely been for charity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a self-esteem issue or my... I didn't feel right. So I've got merch now that isn't. But at the time, I went, the only merch I do is for charity. I was like, you know, you could have asked me. And he goes, he quoted one of my lines back. He goes, I had a word with head office. And I thought, oh, you cheeky cunt. I was like, all right, but you've taken that. And now, you know, if you'd have asked me... and you'd have agreed to donate to this charity, I would have pushed it. Mm-hmm. And I would have pushed it out there and I'd have done that. And then he goes, okay, let's do that. And I said, right, I need to hear that you've contacted these two charities and then I will push your cards, right? Mm-hmm. So then I got in touch with the charities a week later. Has this bloke been in touch? No, he hasn't. I messaged him and I'm like, mate, this is proper shit. Because I looked on Etsy and the price had gone up. So then this other dude messaged me, who was a card manufacturer, and he goes, I'd love to make cards with you. And I said, great, can you give 2/3 of the profit to charity? And he went, yes. I said, fucking make them now, right? So I'm like, I'm not taking a penny, but I want the cards to go to charity, but mostly so I can get this cunt in a moral headlock, right? And so
well
I go,
done.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, anything you do now is taking, like, you know, it's fans supporting food banks in Liverpool and An Hour for Others, which looks after, like, sort of orphans and stuff like that. So, like, you're taking money out of their fucking mouths now, you absolute fucking cheeky cunt. So that's
nice.
That's what I'm doing.
Super. Yeah. But there is an attitude that people just think that they can help themselves to things.
Yeah, and do you know what his argument was? And it's really pissed me off as well. He goes, you stand outside shops and you use their imagery and their customers to make yourself money. And I'm like, oh, you absolute cunt. I think that was the thing that really tipped me over the edge. Like, yeah. So I'm going to have him, you know, financially... kind of,
Have him ruined.
Have him ruined for charity.
plant a scandal. Now, Milo, where people can't get tickets to
see you? Where can't we see you?
They can't.
There's another show now. I've got a show. So the extra shows are sold out, but I've got a show on Friday the 26th at the Newtown Theatre.
Right.
And that's a 400-seater, and so hopefully I won't be... Yeah, but they're the ones that I've got on sale at the moment, so yeah, please.
Okay, can I have two comps for that? Thank you.
Of course you can.
I'm not coming, it's for them.
Well, are you doing it in the main hall at the Newtown Theatre? Because you can, hide down the side.
They just said it was a 400.
I've not been in there.
Oh, it's a good room.
Oh, it's a fantastic room.
Yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's plenty of room to move around, and this is where the 530 cabaret was.
Yeah, with five people in it.
Well, not at the weekends and not when I was on, thanks.
That's what they used to do best of Scottish as well. There's something very depressing about a 400 seater with four people.
Ask Alistair Barry.
Poor Alistair Barry.
I love Alistair.
No,
I can absolutely see how Bruce and Alistair Barry
would lock horns.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I think we should call this the Alistair Barry episode.
The Alistair Barry Hour. Barry Island without Alistair. Milo, it has been an absolute pleasure. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us. A huge round of applause for Milo McCabe.
Yay! Thank you, darling.
Good luck with it. Bye, dear. Lovely. Lovely.
Do you know what's a rarity as well? Is genuinely watching someone have Milo's success and being genuinely happy for them. It doesn't. I don't mean
no. It doesn't happen often.
You see somebody getting something, getting really well, and you're going, "How the fuck did they get that?" But I genuinely, I'm dead chuffed for them.
Exactly. A nice guy. Shall we have our next guest on?
Shall we? Yes. Shall let's we? Bash on.
Yeah, would you like to introduce her?
I haven't the fairest idea who it is.
Oh, for
I
God's
do.
Sake.
That's a lie. I'm
Laura, would you like
joking.
To come onto the stage, my darling? Can we have a round of applause for the fabulous Laura Davidson?
Davies.
Davis. Hello,
Davis.
Laura. How are you?
Welsh!
Oh, the Hello. Valleys.
Oh. Oh. I think you can already gather that we're very seamless and it goes to a plan, this
At
podcast.
Least I knew your first name, God Almighty.
What?
How are you, dear?
I'm good. Do you want me to use
the yes,
yes, please do. Don't shout.
No,
sorry, I'm sitting
it's really,
on it.
It's because we're recording it. Because technically, I'm Australian. I really don't need it.
Well, that's true, actually. But we do need it for the purposes.
It makes me quieter.
It's quite a short cord, love. Sorry. Sorry.
The beard on the door is giving you evils. Just use the fucking mic.
There we go. Use the microphone, but it means I sort of have to.
Could you take the microphone out and hold it in your hand, and then that way we can both see you.
That's better. Yeah.
You seem so insistent on the
look at Jojo
stand.
Being useful.
I don't know. Yes, I don't know what the stand's at. Well, it's there for before you hold
there,
it.
We got there. Well done, everyone. Oh. We all played our parts.
Hi.
That was marvellous. How are you doing?
I'm good. How
are
you?
Are you okay? I'm a bit tired, and I think you can see why. it's been
oh,
2 days.
Oh, I just
three
drag
days?
Them down, don't
three
I? Drag
days? You did
down.
You start on Thursday?
Yes, I started on Thursday. I came up on that Northern train... failure apocalypse.
Oh, God, happens. The one that Lauren Patterson was on and it stopped till 5 o'clock in the morning outside Berwick.
The full, a different one.
Morpeth.
It was a full 12-hour train trip and they stopped at Preston in a very tense standoff for about 40 minutes because we couldn't go until some people agreed to get off the train because the train driver couldn't get on the train because there was no room for the train driver. And so we waited at 40 minutes at Preston while they tried to force people off the train so that we could get moving again.
How could he not get on the train? Was there people in his cab?
Well, people were in it from London and then we sort of went on. And I think someone got off to change drivers, and then they didn't have space. Somebody took his spot.
So, sorry, I'd like to clarify. Mm. People were in the driver's booth.
I think so. I think he just couldn't get through the doors.
He couldn't get to the door to the booth.
Couldn't get through the doors to get to the booth.
Now, it's interesting that you mentioned Morpeth, because a very good friend of mine, she's from Hull, her name's Marion. Hello. And she couldn't get home one evening because people were flinging themselves off the Morpeth station roof, which seems to happen quite a lot. I've never been.
What, in an attempt to suicide or just to disrupt things?
I think to end their lives, probably because they live in Morpeth.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I've never been. Have you been to Morpeth?
I haven't, but you'll check a trigger warning on this.
Yeah, no. I don't think anyone's using an air fryer in Morpeth.
For the north.
Well, exactly. So 12 hours.
Took that. I think it was hard. Some like hardcore circus folk clinging to the undercarriage, to be honest.
Oh. Now, is that a euphemism or were they actually?
It can be. Look, metaphor is a wonderfully flexible tool of language. Well, the it can funny, be whatever you need it to be.
I used to do a lot of cabaret hosting and used to find the performers fairly manky, that they wouldn't wash. One that shall remain nameless, a guy that did Trump, I think his name was Ronald, or Roland, that was it, and his tights were honking, like absolutely to the point where...
Yeah, they don't wash him.
No, he was a dirty, dirty, horrible homosexual, and I had to bring him in for Breeze, and went, bitch, please, because I'm about to take the bulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, you could smell everything, you could smell his undercarriage, you could smell his feet. Oh, yep. Rich coming from Good Housekeeping.
I think there is a general level of acceptance of unhygienicness during the fringe because we're busy.
Yeah, you don't want to share a green room with anyone who has a costume.
No.
Because they only have one costume, they're not washing it. Or so I have three versions of the same clothes and I wash them over
routine. That's very sensible.
If you have a more expensive costume than jeans and a t-shirt, then you're not. Yeah.
Now where are you holed up for the month? Which venue are you in?
I am indentured in the Carnival One, which is down on Cowgate.
Oh, nice.
Corner of South Bridge and Cowgate, and it is a lovely venue. It's the nicest one I've had at the Fringe, and I walked in sort of ready for a mouldy sort of fight for a month. Then no, it's lovely. It's air conditioned, it's cool, it's comfy, and I am stoked about it.
Oh, that is good.
Free food?
No free food. I think there's a discount that you get, but it's not very applicable to anybody else. The discount is a very selfish sort of 15% off a steak or something.
I just thought with them letting you perform in a steakhouse, they could give you an old bit of beef.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think, because it wouldn't cost them anything.
Well, the cow's dead. They've paid for it.
Yes, exactly. Mm. It's just lying around.
Yes, I mean, we do have a pie person here. This is the man that is responsible for Lish Dish Pies.
What,
which are very
pies?
Nice. Lish Dish.
Lish Dish Pies.
Yes.
Oh.
There is more butter in his mash than there is tatty.
Well, there you go.
That is the correct ratio.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Same as if you put butter on a crumpet and it's not coming out the other side.
Oh, you've done it wrong.
You can keep going.
Absolutely.
There's still room.
And you're crowdfunding at the moment, aren't you? You're looking to steal from people to set up a business. So you've had your plug.
How fabulous.
Yes.
And so tell us, what is your show all about?
The show is about how I got stuck in the Antipodes.
Oh, right, I thought you were going to be stuck in a train. You've written that quick.
2.5 years, basically. I was living in London, and I left for a six-week tour, and then my landlord packed up all of my stuff in COVID, and I was in New Zealand, lovely place to be in a pandemic, except I don't live in New Zealand. So I lived in the woods for 14 months.
Like a bear.
Yeah, like a bear. Mm. And then I flew to Western Australia, where my family's from, because I hadn't seen my family in 3 years, thinking I would go to Perth for a few weeks, see my family, and then they closed the borders. And then I stayed there for another 12 months.
Wow.
So to me, all flights are one way.
Mm.
And you have to live out of the suitcase that you have because you can't go backwards.
So you've just been continually going rather than going and coming back.
Yes, and because my family was in Perth, I stayed at my parents' place, but we live out in the forest as well, and live gigs were still shut down. This has been my job for about 15 years. So I went out into the forest that we live near for another 12 months. So mostly I've sat in the woods by myself for the last 2 years.
So have you gone mental?
I can't tell. That's basically what the show's about.
It is quite hard to be objective, isn't it? Yeah. You don't know if you've actually lost the plot or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it might, like, I don't know. I might have veered. This is the most zen I've ever been in my life. It's the least intense, by the way. I know I've got sort of a bit of a vibe, but it's actually, it's not from the woods. It's actually taken it down a notch.
So can I ask, because you've mentioned being alone in the woods. Mm. Are you in a house?
Well, I moved into my mother-in-law's one-bedroom retirement flat with my husband and my mother-in-law, so I fucked off to the woods.
Oh, my... Yeah, but were you living in anything in the woods? You keep going on about the woods. I want to know, were you under canvas? Were you in a property?
Normal wood stuff, mate. Bathing in the stream, squirreling tins so rats don't get them, climbing a tree, sleeping amongst the ferns. Did I say bathing in the stream? Drinking from the stream? Different streams. Got to make that very clear. That's a safety issue.
So
bathing
like a kid. Cave
stream
woman.
Drink from the other.
Like a cave woman.
No, like a fucking badass, you know? Like a person who had lived in hotel rooms in the north and knows how to cook food on a hotel iron in the woods.
Wow.
Cook food on a hotel iron.
Of course you can.
I wasn't disputing. Please adjust your attitude because I won't tolerate it. Thank you very fucking much. My name's above the door, bitch. What did you cook?
Well, I think the thing that's fun to do is to pack like some aluminium foil and then you can cook pretty much anything on a hotel iron. They don't like it, but you can.
Do you know what you should do? I saw this on Twitter. If you've got a burnt iron, what you're meant to do is take a paracetamol. Mm-hmm. In the tweezers and rub it onto the warm iron and it gets rid of all the burn stuff.
No, that's good. I'll do that next
time.
There's
a tip for you, bitches. Take it home.
Well, maybe next time I fuck up my steak.
On an iron?
Yeah.
I thought you might do that in a trouser press.
You should write articles for Good Housekeeping.
Yeah. I don't have time. I'm depressed. Jeez. So are you glad to be away from the homeland then so that you're experiencing level of normality?
I love being here. It's very odd. You know, because I joke about it in the show, people think it's jokes. But no, I sat by myself for quite a long time. Mm. Writing this show, trying to go, well, at least I can put 2.5 years of work into this Edinburgh show and turn up really prepared. But it is quite odd to, you know, to have a washing machine, to to have a bed, those kind of things.
So you're at the fringe, but what have you come back to? Because your landlord got rid of you.
No,
have you come back to anything?
No, I'm paying like £4,000 for a month's accommodation in Edinburgh and then I go back to the woods.
So you're going to go back to the woods?
Pretty much, yeah.
The woods here or over there?
Over there. Wow. Yeah, so jump
You
back.
Are committed to the outdoor lifestyle.
I love it, though. I feel like you've just kind of come from a visit out from tour. I mean, it's like, Bear Grylls ate your heart out.
Popping in from the woods.
Yeah. So have a little bit of civilization. And it's hardly civilization. Have you seen the fucking world we're living in? But I think probably it's more civilized
in the
woods than it is out in the high street.
Well, if you're the only person, you're civilized as you can get. Yes, the civilization was this. I control the level of civilization on a day-to-day basis.
So can I ask then, if you're on fresco, where are you charging your phone?
On a little paddle pack, mother-in-law's house.
Now,
go back.
You mentioned the mother-in-laws. Is this like Shan's unit from Kath and Kim?
Very small little place. She is so lovely, so sweet. And because, you know, I made it to New Zealand with 30 minutes before they closed the border, thinking that...
Bloody Jacinda.
Yeah, thinking it would be, you know, just a few weeks, or we didn't really know what was happening. I just knew I didn't want to be separated.
Yeah, piece of string, wasn't it? We had no idea.
I didn't want to be separated from my husband. He was already there, sort of made it, and we were like, we don't know what's going on. Uh-huh. And there's not really, you know, there's a housing crisis there. There is everywhere. There's nowhere to
Can I ask a question? If you don't mind. What do you think of Jacinda? Do you like her? Is she a good leader? Have you written to her to tell her that you're outside again?
Yeah, she doesn't know. Look, she's actually an old drinking buddy of my husband's because everyone in New Zealand knows everyone in New Zealand. And I think she's probably a very nice lady.
I think if she has a drink, yes.
Yeah,
I think. We have someone here that doesn't have a drink and that seems to be the problem.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she might drink in a closet.
What sauce?
I just saw his face. So I just want to go back a little bit because you do mention the husband. Mm-hmm. And so the husband didn't come and live in the woods with you?
No. You know, everyone
this
copes.
Is how they really... Because I separated from my husband and maybe if I'd gone and lived in the woods, we might still be together. Look, is that a good recipe for marriage?
I think so. Look, everyone copes in their own way and I didn't. So he played video games in the bedroom. My mother-in-law watched murder mysteries on the couch.
Yeah.
And I had the choice of sort of sitting next to one of them.
Yeah.
Both lovely people, but very, you know, I as you can tell, I have a certain sort of energy to me. I got a vibe. I don't belong in a small space. I make sense in the woods, you
okay.
know. So it just was sort of.
And was this the same when you were a child?
Yes.
Because I should tell you, at the age of 7, and I have family here to back me up, I ran away from home to live in Balgay Hill in Dundee with a wigwam and a full bankie.
How'd you go?
Of money. I got picked up by my brother like half an hour later and then battered by my mother an hour later. But I was intent to go and live in a wigwam.
Yeah.
How old
half
were you?
Half an hour's just going for a walk.
No. I never wanted to be in the house, you see.
I left home and got to the bottom of the drive and decided it was too much effort.
We didn't have a drive. No. We had a low-level fire. It was like walking ashes sort of thing. My mother was like a dragon just spitting venom all day long. Do you get on with your family?
Yes, yeah. Lovely.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother.
Okay, older, younger?
Younger, 5 years younger. He is an emergency doctor in Queensland, Australia. Doing, you know, real good stuff in the pandemic, but laughter's the best medicine. So
yes, we were more important.
Got the upper hand on that. Yeah.
I'd rather laugh than have my defibrillated or whatever.
Depends on the day.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you would, if it came between laughter and a hysterectomy, you'd go for the hysterectomy if it was necessary.
Maybe.
You wouldn't just try and laugh off your vag problems.
I don't know. Sometimes I don't trust myself with my decision making.
Well,
I've made some odd decisions.
You're a bit of a secret trumper, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Now, what is it? I'm fascinated by the show. What's the show called?
The show is called If This Is It.
If This Is It.
Because, yeah.
That's a very fatalistic title. If This Is It. If This Is The End of Days.
Yeah, lost all the possessions. Not, you know, you learn that they don't matter, but landlord packed up the flat.
So where's the stuff?
There's one suitcase in my landlord's garage, but everything else had to be, because we couldn't get back to our flat, so... Via Zoom, you know, you're some stranger, landlord, going through everything, holding up your underpants, going, do you want these? They've got stains.
Yes, I do, so I can sell them.
There is a website for that, isn't there?
You should do that.
I should do that. My 3-day manky knickers, took them on eBay. But I'm loving, because I'm doing for other reasons, separate, but I'm giving up everything and going to live in a motorhome. So
yeah, nice.
I have the same kind of attitude to life going, fuck it.
You just got to do it.
You don't need stuff, really.
No.
Don't even need clean clothes, I've discovered.
Hotel iron.
Hotel iron.
And a bit of string. You can make things work.
See, that's brilliant.
See, at least she had a stream to wash in. She's planning to turn up at the Glee an hour early to have a shower.
Yes.
Slightly different.
No, you gotta.
It's true.
The best way to shower, sort of low impact shower in the woods, would be you would fill fill like a large plastic bottle halfway with sort of water from the stream. You flip it upside down. You poke shower holes in the bottom of it, and then you wet yourself, soap yourself up, turn it the other way around so you don't run out of water. Once you've sudsed yourself up, then you rinse.
I'm going to speak to a friend of mine that works on I'm a Celebrity, because I feel you should actually get paid for this.
Yeah. This is really good life
hacks.
I
would love to do that show and just hang out.
Yeah.
They do all those sort of psychological torture sort of things with you, but again, there's always bugs and snakes. I'm from Australia. They're just in the shower anyway.
Yeah.
Just deal with it. Yes. Do you find that using Avon Skin So Soft helps as an insect repellent, or do you just go bare?
Sorry, which one?
Avon Skin So Soft.
Oh, no, I don't know it.
All right. Well, no. It's the favourite of Princess Anne, who's my favourite royal now that Margaret's dead.
Yes.
Are you for getting rid of the monarchy in Australia? I suppose you're not that bothered if you're out
in
the boat in the forest.
Look, to be honest, I'm for getting rid of it in England. let alone the Antipodes.
Pipe down. What's my mum going to fucking do, you selfish prick? Be quiet.
The monarchy in Australia, it's still that... It's sort of functionally very redundant, and it is there as a symbolism, but the symbolism is on top of a 40,000-50,000-year culture that already existed. And so, you know, having the sovereignty over a land that's been colonized is probably unnecessary. So if it's functionally redundant, then the symbolism is quite cruel and insulting to a race of First Nations people. Then maybe you would just also get rid of the symbolic.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
And also the revelations about William of late, if they're to be believed.
But this is, how do we, I keep asking this question, how do we ever find these things out? I find it all very suspicious.
What do you find suspicious? So have you heard these rumours about Prince William?
That he gets pegged by... is that what it is? Yes.
I tried to talk to my mum about it. She went, here, I've read something. My mum is mental, right? So my mum gets up in the morning. She will watch Richard Madeley on GMB. Mm. Then she'll go out and buy the mail because she refuses to watch Lorraine. She doesn't realise she can just turn off the TV. And then she comes back in. So she'll have skim read that. She'll have filled herself with Jeremy Vine. Then she falls asleep. And by 1 o'clock, everything is melded. Because I remember she came into and she said to me, is J.K. Rowling a man? And I went, no, but you're on the right track. It's to do with gender and all that kind of stuff. And then she said, all she said was, did you hear that Prince William's been at the Capers?
Oh, bless. But I didn't necessarily know what pegging was.
Neither did I.
Well, you should, shouldn't you?
But not necessarily. Okay. Not everyone's into that. I'm certainly not. Do you know who I feel sorry for the most? Richard Attenborough.
Why?
But because he hung around with him for ages and he didn't know. That's bound to be embarrassing.
Oh, yes, it will be embarrassing. Disgrace. But it's getting back to the point. Unless you know, you don't know. So how these bits of information come out, where does it come out from? I don't trust anybody and what they say. I think it's absolutely, it could be absolute horseshit.
I think it just comes down to it's all right if he wants to get...
Oh, absolutely. Like
getting rid of the monarchy because Prince William's getting paid. So it's like getting rid of Hitler because you don't like his moustache.
I genuinely think that could be the dildo that's broken the straw of the camel's back.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
But if he's got a wee fetish, he's got a wee fetish. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Is it a fetish? I don't know.
I don't know.
It sounds painful is what it sounds. Doesn't it? Doesn't it sound painful? Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting note to leave it. It's nice to leave the conversation hanging
in
the air. And I feel we've learned a lot. What time are you on and where?
I'm on at 4 p.m., which is a bit... It's not my favourite time slot. It's a bit early. I'm quite loud for 4 p.m., but it'll be good.
What time would you prefer?
9 p.m. Nine.
Oh, really? Okay.
Why didn't that happen?
Oh, just luck of the draw. Just roulette. But, you know, I think just that... I'm currently really frightening them for the first 10 minutes, then they ease in. I think once pre-sales change and people are coming excited to see what they know they're going to see.
Right.
But right now there's a couple of nans in going, oh no.
Didn't expect this. Mm. So, fuck them. Educate them.
Exactly.
Or kick them out. I'm a big fan of not bothering my arse.
Oh, well, thank you very much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Fascinating. Thank you very much.
There we go. Can we have a round of applause?
Yes.
Thanks, love.
That's it.
Thank you.
Don't forget what very little belongings you've got left.
Right, okay, that's it.
I'm making an assumption, that's it, because I feel that the other guest has not arrived.
And do not name them.
We won't give them the oxygen.
It was
Alistair Barry.
So there we go.
I think that's what happens, though, darling, isn't it? That we've already hit the second day or official day of the Fringe and guests will be dropping like flies because they'll have been in the loft bar till 5 a.m. and forgotten that they had this in. So we're going to have to be very forgiving over the next fortnight
Oh, no. My list is getting bigger.
Oh, right, okay.
I wish actual death on these people.
Oh, good, right.
Alistair.
No.
No, I want him to live for the wee dog.
Yes, no, absolutely. Yeah. And we are very fond of Alistair.
Yes, exactly.
So, yes, we whatever the guest is, will not get another opportunity. They've blown it.
Oh, they are dead to me.
I'm so glad I didn't bother doing any research on them.
Yeah, that's something that's got to change. We're going to have a wee meeting behind the partition.
Okay.
It's just, it looks really fucking bad.
I know.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.